Roughly Where Saja, recorded last month at the Rainforest World Music Festival in Borneo. Lopa Katari will be back with more from the Rainforest Festival in World Roots next Sunday, starting at the later time of 10:30, here on BBC Radio 3.
Berlioz, Mendelssohn, Bach and Beethoven with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra and one of this year's featured proms artists, the pianist Stephen Hough. Liszt astounded Mendelssohn by sight-reading his first piano concerto in a piano showroom in Paris in 1831. How will Stephen Hough fare with hopefully a little more preparation time? I'm Martin Handley. Join me at the BBC Proms tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Yes, plenty more from the Proms, not just in the evening but at lunchtime too, with the Proms Chamber Recital at 1 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11 o'clock, time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
A taster of tonight's special concert set featuring a duo performance by saxophonist Paul Toundrow and pianist Steve Hamilton, recorded at this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival. Also today, Kevin LeGenre is here for this month's Now's the Time feature, where he's picked a long-lost jazz treasure from the vaults. Kevin, what have you picked for us today?
I've chosen Japanese saxophonist Sadao Watanabe's How's Everything? Live at Budokan. It's one of the great live jazz albums that I can think of, and it has really, really good tracks like this.
Also on the programme, I'll be joined by saxophonist and festival director Brandon Allen to tell us about the Highgate Jazz with Soul Festival, which begins next week. But let's start the show with some major jazz royalty. Saxophonist Swain Shorter is one of the music's great names, and tomorrow sees the release of a box set out on the Proper label that covers his early work with pianist Wynton Kelly and with Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. Revealing his early talents as a brilliant improviser and composer, let's hear the track Dead End. We'll be right back. Dead End by Wayne Shorter from a brand new retrospective box set released tomorrow on Proper Records. And Wayne will be at this year's London Jazz Festival performing with the BBC Concert Orchestra in November. Look out for that broadcast right here on Jazz Lineup. At this year's Parliamentary Jazz Awards, The Impossible Gentleman won the award for Best Jazz Ensemble. Well, they've just released their second album, which promises more risks and musical adventures while still remaining accessible. In addition to the group's quartet of Gwilym Simcock, Mike Walker, Steve Swallow and Adam Nussbaum, is 13 Grammy Award winner Steve Rodby, who produced the CD and plays bass on two of the tracks. It's called Internationally Recognised Aliens, and this is the track The Sliver of Other Lovers. Thank you. Great solos there for pianist Gwilym Simcock and guitarist Mike Walker, and that was the track The Sliver of Other Lovers, taken from the new CD by the Impossible Gentlemen called Internationally Recognised Aliens. The band will be on tour throughout October, starting with their first night on Thursday the 10th at Watermill Jazz in Dorking, so look out for them in the listings. Back in January of last year, Jazz Lineup recorded a very special edition of the programme at Morley College in London to celebrate the great jazz vocalist Mark Murphy. An icon for jazz singers worldwide, Mark performed in an intimate duo setting with the brilliant pianist George Mesterházy. Sadly, it was a great shock to learn that just a couple of months later, George passed away unexpectedly from natural causes at the age of only 59. Both these musicians were closely associated with Washington-based pianist-singer Shirley Horn, and with his newly released four-track vinyl EP, Mark pays a wonderful musical tribute to her with young New York pianist Alex Minasian, bassist Curtis Lundy, and Steve Williams, who was Shirley Horn's much-loved drummer for 25 years. Sounding every bit as vocally daring and dynamic, Mark, who's now in his early 80s, gives his unique treatment to a beautiful friendship, and I'm sure that in his heart he was thinking not only of Shirley Horn, but also of George Mesterházy too.
Is the end of a beautiful friendship. It ended a moment ago. This is the end of a beautiful friendship. I know, 'cause your eyes told me so. We were always like sister, brother, until tonight when we looked at each other. That was the end of a beautiful friendship and just the beginning of love, sweetheart. Thank you.
friendship ended a moment ago. Just a moment. This is the end of a beautiful friendship. I know, because your eyes told me so. We were always like sister and brother until tonight, when we looked at each other. And that was the end of a beautiful friendship. Just the beginning, yeah. Just the beginning. Just the beginning of love. Lovely, lovely, lovely love. It's here, honey, here, right here, yeah. Lovely love.
The title track from the 4-track EP, A Beautiful Friendship. That was the fearless hipster himself, Mark Murphy. And that EP is out now on the Gearbox record label as a deluxe 180-gram vinyl release only. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, it's time now for our regular feature with Kerin Lejeune. Now's the time. And this month, Kerin, you've selected How's Everything live at the Budokan. Tell us a bit about the artist, Kerin, before we hear the first track and why you've chosen this album.
It's by the Japanese saxophonist Sadao Watanabe, who I thought was important to feature because we haven't had any Japanese artists on Now's the Time, and their contribution to jazz has been really important. This album, which came out in 1980, is one of the great live records as far as I'm concerned. It's him with this incredible band of Americans: Eric Gale on guitar, Steve Gadd on drums, who I know you love, Anthony Jackson, the great Anthony Jackson, on bass guitar, Ralph McDonald on congas, Richard T on keyboards, Dave Grusin on keyboards as well, with the Tokyo Philharmonic Orchestra. So it's a really, really lush sound that you hear. And I think that in terms of actually bringing together some great tunes, great playing from the band, and really nice orchestrations, this is the one. This really works.
Jazz artists really embraced the funkier side of the genre. It was a heyday in the 70s and 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Dave Grusin played quite a big part of that. And he's orchestrated, arranged and conducted.
That's right. And playing keyboards as well. And as people know, he set up the GRP label, which had people like Tom Brown. So that kind of jazz meets funk meets fusion, sometimes with strings and keyboards. You know, a sound which is quite lush. Mm. He was very much involved in that. And this collaboration with Sadao Watanabe, I thought, brought together these two worlds, because Sadao had come from, I suppose,
bebop, really.
A harder bebop edge. And you've got this funkier, quite lush sound coming together with that bebop edge, and it works really well. And the track that we're going to listen to, Up Country, which has Sadao playing soprano, to me has very, very strong echoes of a Coltrane or Yusef Lateef, just in terms of the atmosphere, this beautiful melody. It's very mysterious.
It's so dramatic, isn't it?
It's so evocative. And the way that it builds, the way that the strings just get more and more complex and sophisticated. And then it goes into this fantastic gospel break in the middle, where Richard T's playing church piano, and you think, praise the Lord, you know, they've gone right into the blues of the music. It's a real masterful arrangement.
Let's hear it. It's Up Country, the first track on Now's the Time.
Thank you.
That was Up Country, the first track on Now's the Time from the album How's Everything, live at the Budokan with Sadu Watanabe and Kevin DeJohnmore. We're talking about that fantastic album, obviously one of your favourites. I can see you beaming. Do you think it was one of the last albums that really featured jazz fusion with orchestra? I mean, it'd been done before. I was thinking of somebody like, you know, Ramsey Lewis and Earth, Wind and Fire. A real grand scale recording, isn't it? Really sort of. Do you think this album was one of the last before it started getting much more...
When nobody could afford to do it anymore.
But also people were sort of programming sounds and it was getting, it was sort of heading towards Herbie Hancock rocket, you know.
I suppose things, from a practical point of view, things had to scale down simply because the money wasn't there anymore to do something like, I mean, this is the Tokyo Philharmonic. It's one of the reasons why the sound is so beautiful and rich is because it's a big orchestra in this grand hall. I mean, if you think about it, having a jazz artist headline at the Budokan, and as you can hear from the applause, it's pretty much sold out. That's a major thing in itself, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to feature this album.
Columbia Records, who he was signed to, he did this gig just before he did his first American tour. So they were obviously setting this up. I mean, they were really behind their artist. This
they
is
invested.
Where record companies invested, I was about to say that. Do you think that was the tail
Absolutely.
End of that as well?
I mean, this is the early 80s, and as the decade wore on, that happened less and less because the music wasn't as successful. I mean, the album that I always relate this to is George Benson's In Flight. If you think about how the strings are used on that record with these funky players as well, I think Richard T might be on that record too. So the idea of having like a really, really crack rhythm section with a great string orchestra, and as you pointed out, a great arranger like Dave Grusin. It was something that in the 70s and early 80s, it really did work, and then it kind of tailed off. So I think that's why we need to celebrate it, point out how well it did work.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing about the British connection as well, which is important, is that Sadao was one of those Japanese saxophonists or just jazz artists generally who had an influence on British players, like the Jazz Warriors, people like Courtney Pine, I think Steve Williamson as well, Orphy Robinson. They listened to a lot of Japanese jazz fusion. That was the term that was used back in the day. There are other people like Hiroshi Fukimura. Sadao was the iconic figure. And I think that we need to recognize that those musicians from Japan were listened to and they inspired musicians from around the world, you know, not just in the UK, but in America too.
So he went from Japan, he studied at Berkeley,
that's
and then
right.
he becomes very prolific and he comes over and he does lots of tours in Europe. So he's gone and he's come to us via America.
Yeah.
What happened after this album? Did he stay with this kind of slant, with his soul?
Yeah, I think he carried on working with Grusin for a while, very much in a fusion bag, as it were. I think he went back to his bebop roots at one point a bit later. The other thing as well, which he did, which is very important, as we'll hear a bit later, is that he recorded an album of Brazilian music, I think dedicated to Elis Regina. Because in terms of his roots, African music and Brazilian music were always very important. And I suppose that the funk was brought in by these fantastic players on this record.
Well, let's hear the next track, Nice Shot. Tell me a bit about this one.
Well, this is really a showcase for one of the great guitarists, I think, Eric Gale, who did sessions with just about everybody and also recorded some great albums in his own right. And this is a funky, tight, really, really rhythmic track, which has some great playing from Sadao as well. And as I say, the use of the orchestra, the way that it weaves in and out of the rhythm, again, it just works perfectly.
It's a dream come true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's have a listen now then to Nice Shot.
Thank you.
That was Nice Shot by Sadao Watanabe from How's Everything, live at the Budokan. And Kevin and Jean, we were talking about this fantastic saxophonist. So the album's been re-released. Mm. I wonder what makes a company go, let's re-release that. I mean, obviously, they love it as much as you. I mean, how does it work?
I think the way it works is that there are people out there who champion a record, and a record company like Cherry Red that has reissued it, which does lots of re-releases of old classic material, says, wait a minute, this is a little gem, a hidden treasure.
Yeah.
Let's get this out. And that's it. I think that there has been a lobby, a kind of Live at Budokan lobby for a number of years.
Kevin, tell me a bit more about Budokan.
Well, it's historic. It's a grand concert hall where the biggest artists in the world play. I think you've really made it when you play Budokan. And the obvious iconic recording to mention is Bob Dylan's record, Live at Budokan, recorded on his 1978 world tour. And it's just a fabled space. You know, Budokan, it has this magic to it. And I think, as we were saying before, you know, it is really important that somebody like a jazz saxophonist ended up doing a record at Budokan as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He's really sort of a master of reinvention, isn't he? He's going in and out of the styles of jazz. He's able to do, because he's so talented, you know, he did albums with, you know, Chick Corea. But now he's doing this fantastic fusion jazz and remains a very, you know, high-profile artist.
And he's done some bebop stuff as
well.
Yeah,
and there were 60
stuff.
Albums yeah. by 1999. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge turnout.
Well, he has godlike status in Japan, and he has, I think, godlike status among jazz lovers around the world, because he's just been this really, really adventurous, very, very, very hard-working and really talented guy who, as you say, has done so much, 60-odd albums in his career, all to a high quality, you know, working with some of the best musicians as well. That album that you mentioned, or you mentioned him working with Chick Corea, it's also got Jack DeJohnette and Miroslav Etus on it. That's another classic record as well, Round Trip. You know, his discography is very strong.
Wow. Let's talk about the last track then. Is this one of your mum's favourites?
One of my favourites, yeah. I think it is one of my mum's favourites as well. Bois Noite, which is this lovely samba kind of bossa track. And Brazil, as I mentioned before, has been important to him. He would go on to record an album which was dedicated to Elis Regina, the great Brazilian singer. And there's this sensitive, very, very delicate side to his music, as well as the aggressive side too. And this is it. This is like showcasing the balladry.
Brilliant. Let's hear it then. It's Bois Noite.
Thank you.
Buonanotte, and that was the last piece from How's Everything, live at the Budokan. And Sado Watanabe remembered Kirinajana. Very, very nice. And that, again, is out on Cherry Red Records. That's been reissued. Well, while you're here, perhaps we could just say a few words about the great George Duke, pioneering keyboardist who died in Los Angeles at the quite young age of 67. An accomplished musician across many different genres, including jazz, funk and R&B, George Duke released over 30 solo albums over a career spanning 5 decades. He was an inspiration to musicians from all generations, ranging from hip-hop to jazz, and he'll be very fondly remembered and much missed. And we were talking earlier about our favourite George Duke album, Brazilian Love Affair. But
classic.
What a sad loss for all of us.
Very sad. I mean, I say two things which I think are really important. A is that he really was very adventurous in his use of electronics. He was a great acoustic piano player, a great blues player, but if you go to those records that he made in the 70s and you hear what he's doing with keys, it's pretty impressive. So, and that has had a huge influence on a lot of techno people, yeah, and artists who are around today, notably somebody like Thundercat, who's quite big at the moment. So that's the first thing, is use of keyboards. Also, it's hugely important that he was a guy who came from the jazz world, who ended up playing with Frank Zappa.
Yes, he did.
And Gianluca Ponti, and being part of that crazy rock world, you know, coming from the blues. And what he said to me when I interviewed him several years ago is that playing with Zappa brought out a sense of humour and a zaniness and a kind of off-the-wall character in him that he didn't have before when he was a straighter blues guy. And I think that's a really, really important thing, that, you know, somebody who came from blues, who went to this crazy rock world, made it work.
Survived.
Yeah.
Came out stronger. Well, it's terribly sad because his wife died last year, and his latest CD, Dreamweaver, was just out earlier in July. Was his sort of last piece,
and then the swan song,
yes, his swan song. So why don't we hear a piece from that? That seems fitting, with Stanley Clarke, someone who he collaborated with many occasions.
That's right. The Clarke Duke Band was very big in the 70s, and you know, they made some great music together. And I think that relationship that they had was a really, really strong one. So yeah, maybe this is the right track to remember him by.
Well, thanks for coming in again, Kirinajana. And here's George Duke's Stones of Orion.
Thank you.
from his final CD, which is called Dreamweaver. That was the late, great George Duke with the track Stones of Orion. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. We travel to Glasgow for tonight's concert music. It's a special duo performance by two of Scotland's premier musicians, saxophonist Paul Towndrow and pianist Steve Hamilton, recording at the 27th Glasgow International Jazz Festival at the Old Fruit Market. With Paul Towndrow on soprano sax and Steve Hamilton at the piano, the duo open with Cryogenics.
Thank you.
The Colour of Your Eyes, Paul Tando and Steve Hamilton, recorded at the Glasgow Jazz Festival at the Old Fruit Market at this year's 27th festival. Well, let's keep the festival theme going, and we'll be speaking next with saxophonist Brandon Allen, who's also the festival director of the Highgate Jazz with Soul Festival. But before we do, let's hear one of the acts playing at this year's festival, and it's Alex Garnett with Saluda Hakim. Was Alex Garnett playing Saluda Hakim, and I'm joined by Brandon Allen, saxophonist and also the festival director of the Highgate Jazz with Soul Festival. Hello.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
Congratulations. I'm well. This is your third year.
Third year, yeah.
So it's going really well, obviously.
It's great, yeah.
Tell us who's playing. Obviously, we just heard Alex there, but you've got a whole host of great names.
Yeah, I mean, we've got sort of five main sort of concerts, I guess, which is Alan Barnes, Scott Hamilton Quintet,
great.
Tina May, Nikki Iles, Bobby Wellens and Kate Williams, the Tough Tenors, which is myself and Alex Garnett, and Ian Shaw.
It's fantastic, and I have every admiration for you, because it's a lot of work putting a festival together. Let's talk about the title, the Highgate Jazz with Soul Festival.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. You've got some soul bands to sort of even it out, or is it music that you love?
It's basically the Highgate Jazz with Soul was sort of, I wanted to put on a festival with people, sort of musicians that really sort of play with heart and spirit. So there's that kind of aspect to it. But also the soul part was supposed to reflect things sort of outside of jazz, like sort of funk, R&B, blues, all those kind of things. So this year especially, we're sort of trying to bring in different elements, you know, all related to jazz, you know, but we've got sort of gypsy jazz, funk, blues, like I said, a little bit of world music, sort of New York and style jazz, so a bit of everything really. So.
Brilliant. So it's running from Friday, August the 23rd, that's day one, and it goes to the Monday.
That's right.
So I guess that's the bank holiday Monday, is it?
It is,
okay,
yes.
So everybody's going to be able to do all 4 days. So you've got three great singers. You've got Abigail Boyd's trio, and Tina May, And Ian Shaw, you know, so you've really covered the singers as well. They're good crowd pullers. Congratulations. It looks fantastic. Again, it's the Highgate Jazz with Soul Festival, August the 23rd to the 26th, kicking off on the Friday, which is the festival launch, where the Filthy Six plus DJs are playing. Brandon Allen, good luck with the third festival. And let's hear one of the artists, two of the artists actually, that are playing on the Sunday at Lauderdale House at 8 p.m, the wonderful Tina May and Nikki Iles. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Guess I'll go where moon and stars are nowhere there for me. I need a change of sky. I need a change of summer, winter, spring, away from every single memory. The time has come to that tremble when we kissed in the rain. Some moonless place where shadows never part. Oh, daisy shout, look out, there goes your heart. your heart again. kiss the losers, weepers all goodbye. My heart has had its high. My heart may stay.
Tina May and Nikki Isles, two of the performers at this year's Highgate Jazz and Soul Festival, which runs from August the 23rd to the 26th. And for more information on the festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, that's almost the end of the show, but remember, plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday night. And this week he features previously unbroadcast tracks from the ICP Orchestra and Guillermo Klein Quartet. That programme is at the later start time of 11:45 because of the proms. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, I'll be presenting our second instalment of a concert by saxophonist Mark Lockhart's Ellington in Anticipation project, recorded at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama in Cardiff as part of this year's AMSA Jazz Time Festival. But to finish tonight, and keeping the Welsh connection with Cardiff-based Edition Records, something from the debut album by 23-year-old award-winning trumpeter Reuben Fowler. Between Shadows was released last month and features some of the cream of the UK's jazz scene and very special guests Tom Harrell and Stan Saltzman. This is part 5, Ending. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. We're at the 2012 Bodensee Festival for this opening hour and a half. Bodensee is Lake Constance to us here in the UK. Anyway, it's a lake on the Rhine at the northern foot of the Alps, with three countries bordering its shores. This concert is from a church in Weingarten, so the German part, and it's devoted mainly to J.S. Bach's magnificent motets. Five of them all together here, and all in German, which is how Bach wrote them, most of them intended for special events in Leipzig outside the regular services in St. Thomas's. In between each of the motets, by way of instrumental contrast, there'll be sinfonias from various Bach cantatas. Hans Christoph Rademann conducts the Rias Chamber Choir and the Berlin Early Music Academy. And the concert sets off with Bach's funeral motet, Der Geist hilft unserer Schwachheit auf, The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. J.S. Bach's motet Der Geist hilft unsere Schwachheit auf, the motet written in 1729 for the funeral of a rector at St. Thomas's School in Leipzig. Singing it there, the Rias Chamber Choir, conducted by Hans Christoph Radermann. Well, another of the motets from them in a moment or so, after we hear the players of the Berlin Early Music Academy in the Sinfonia from Bach's cantata Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis.
Thank you.
the Berlin Early Music Academy, conducted by Hans Christoph Rademann, in the Sinfonia from Bach's cantata Ich hatte viel Bekümmernis, this concert from the Weingarten Basilica as part of the 2012 Bodensee Festival. Rademann and the Brias Chamber Choir now, in another of the Bach motets, Komm Jesu Komm, a piece that's shrouded in mystery. We haven't a clue who the motet was written for or even when. And the text here isn't biblical. It was written by a former teacher at St. Thomas's School in Leipzig.